I am. I will have to say the intro is awesome. Thank you, Jay, for that, man. Dude, yeah, I rock out every time I hear it.
I agree, man. I'm back there like, it's got a little bit of like chug, chug, chug to it. I like it.
I agree. So what's up, everybody? Welcome to Reptiles Unplugged. Thank you guys for joining. My name is Adam, Beach Bum Exotics. Find me on Instagram under Beach Bum Exotics, under all different social medias. And who does remember when Jay met? I'm also at Morph Market. And I got my co-host with me, Mr. No Hair, Small Town Exotics.
Small Town Exotics. Smalltownexotics.com, Instagram, YouTube. I even have a Facebook that I don't monitor too closely, but it's there. You know, it's there. So all my things. And then our technical producer, Greenline Morphs, Instagram and Morph Market.
Mr. J. And he is the man responsible for that cool intro. So thank you very much. And I'm excited to be here. So yeah. It was funny. I saw Bod say, hello, we can hear you. So were we in channel before? Or is he messing with me?
I don't know, man.
He's got to be messing with us. evil, right here. We can hear you 2 minutes before the show started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it was. I mean, it was just people talking. Yeah,
it's impossible. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, we got a lot of stuff happening, Shane. What's going on in your life after you kicked my ass? I don't know if that's the wrong guy over here.
Well, you know. I reached over to Ventura, smacked Adam around. You know, I figured he needed something up top to go with his leg problem, you know, with the Achilles. Bod said he heard everything. Maybe.
I don't know. That's impossible. We weren't live.
I mean, maybe. I mean, he is a clowning around type guy, though.
So. I know. Can't trust him.
So I want to try something out real quick because all right, I'm going to try something. All right, it worked. So, off-week segments, we'll have Shane's shout-out of the week. And our first shout-out of this segment is Jay at Greenline Morphs. Why? Because he builds cool stuff like that. But he does it for, like, so many people behind the scenes. This dude needs more props and more recognition. I don't even know to the extent of what he does for everyone. I know he works with a lot of the different podcasts, does their animations, intros, outros, all that stuff. He successfully did all the reels for multiple 15 minutes of lame competitors. One of them was a winner, Paul at Large Marge. And that was all due to Jay behind the scenes doing what Jay does. So big shout out to Jay. Greenline Morphs, go give him a follow on Instagram.
Yep. Dude's got some great snakes, awesome graphics, and like you said, he's operating behind the scenes, right? Which is something that we need to highlight a little bit more. The people that make these types of things run for all of us and put in the hard groundwork, you know, they need a lot of credits.
Yeah, I did a peacock impersonation in a chat. He took that audio and then made that little thing out of it. So that's actually me. pretending to be a peacock, you know.
I forgot that's how that little. That's right. One of these shows, we're gonna have to cover like show ideas like that we have behind the scenes, and just some of them, you guys are absolutely fucking ridiculous.
it's nothing but serious talk back there, you know.
Oh man, too good. I'm the first loser. Jerry, no way, never a loser, bro. We love chat, and we love chat showing up and on Thursdays, and you know, I mean, that just anyhow, we'll get into that possibly down the road. We've got some things to cover before we truly get into some other stuff. I feel like I thought the same thing, Catalina Morphs, right? She said, I feel like Shane is in need of sombrero in the pick with that music. I was kind of feeling that vibe too, you know, very Santa Paula, California vibe.
Dude, I was going to say it reminded me of being back home.
Come on, Jay, make that happen. We need a good sombrero on that head.
Like a cheesy cartoon one from SpongeBob or something, you know, just like scrunch it on there.
Look at the man is on it live. Oh man, too good, too good. Well, I don't know, Shane, if some of our viewers could have missed it. Replay gang, all of y'all, I hope you guys haven't missed it. Was last week's show. It was amazing. I had a great time. I felt like we could have gone for 3 hours with the amount of like information and all the good stuff that was coming from it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, what... I agree. They, the Harbins as a couple are like so multifaceted, you know, they, you could dive down so many rabbit holes with them, whether it's like engineering a building and the specs on that, or a hog nose thing, or the Monarch project, or like there's so many different avenues you could go down with them. So
yeah,
I mean, definitely. It's a great episode. Thank you, Harbins.
Yeah, and thank you guys for showing up tonight. Also, really do appreciate that. And last week's conversation for me was kind of like an introduction that I had to y'all, and it was special for me getting to know you guys. And Shane had always really talked you up. And for me, the interview was only like breaching the tip of the iceberg. And I hope we get to have the Harbins on the show again and cover some of these, you know, more interesting topics in more focused detail with them. I mean, they just have so much to talk about. So, and like you said, they've got the facility coming up, which I can't wait to hear all the details that, you know, somebody has while going through that process, projects that they have working. I know you guys need to get in on that hognose discussion, and I can't wait to learn about that stuff. So, hey.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, we've been having some offline conversations, and so some topics that maybe, you know, maybe it's time to kind of start covering. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have some other things to talk about? You want to talk about some week's happenings or anything like that? Anything major happen for you? Any clutches? Anybody out there have anything? I'm still waiting for my first clutch, but.
Dude, I hatched my first genetic stripe clown. Dude!
Come on, there's the setup. Hell yeah, you did. I saw that video too. So you guys need to check out the video because that's pretty fun to watch.
I remember in the first iteration of Reptiles Unplugged just trolling the chat, just saying G-stripe clowns are the future. G-stripe clowns are the future. And people would just be like, oh, shut up, Shane. You know, whatever. And here I was 5 minutes. And then 5 years later, I did it.
Dude, that's so, man, 5 years. And I love, like you said, in the video, I'm going to give some spoilers to the YouTube video that you produced, but you hit on some interesting topics in the fact of like, yeah, in that time span, you could have went and bought a double visual, or you could have went and, you know, jumped ahead in line and done some stuff, but you just decided to keep the course that you had. Hey, this is what I set out to do. And then when it happened, it felt like, I mean, I don't know, it's got to feel just amazing, right? Like,
like super amazing. I mean, the backup male took the clutch, so there was that little dig in the side there, but it always, was still amazing. But something was better than nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So
for sure. That's cool.
And I tried to highlight in that video too, like in 23, I could have made the pairing, but I added DG into the mix too, because I was thinking like, I need to get out further ahead. Yeah. Like I need to get out there, which those females, they're on track to be breeding next year. So next year I'm on track to hit the triple. So
dude, that's nice. I love how you stacked that. Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of taking that quick win, you did decide to go the longer route. So I think that's pretty cool. And something that, you know, for us to all kind of, I think, take in, because we're all running projects, right? And most of us are running some doubles and triple recessives. And it's like, okay, all right, do I take that step right now to see it? Or maybe there's a male that I've got that I should pair instead, but it'll prolong the visuals. So yeah.
Right.
Right on, man. Thanks for teaching us that example.
Yeah. But you know, the guys like you that were years ahead of me in the beginning, and like, you still hear it right now, is like, work with what you like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is like that perfect example. Cause I had a bazillion setbacks, partho clutches and stuff that happened throughout the 5-year period. But I was like, no, this is my jam. Like, I'm in it. I don't care if the project tanks. I'm in it to win it, man. I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah. And I think it is a cool project. The first G-Stripe Clown that I saw reminded me a little bit of kind of like Pinstripe Clown, in the sense of like, it's really disrupting clown. You know, and the variability, I think, that's present there has a lot to play on. That foundation is cool. So, So from 5 years ago to today, and you getting that animal feels good. Is there anything you would have corrected on course? Or I know in the video you said you would have, you know, staying course, true to course felt good, but like, really thinking about it, anything that you would have changed? Or,
well, you know, I'd say I would have built better males, but that was the partho clutch that I talked about. I had like a 5-gene clown to a single gene G stripe, so I was going to get this like GHI fire yellow belly blah 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 double het male out of that clutch. She parthoed out. And that was like my dreams right there. That was like my clutch of that year. That was 23 as well, you know? And I was like, I'm going to build my male here. I got all these females I'm making over here. Yeah, so, I mean, there's setbacks, but, you know, just you got to persevere. So, I mean, maybe I should have paired another genetic stripe that year, I guess, or something, you know, to make the double het male, but, you know.
To add some more stock or something.
Yeah.
Right.
So, hence why I had the backup male making the pairing and he took the clutch.
Yeah, right. Having that backup male, man, who knows? Because maybe the clutch wouldn't have happened without him. You never know.
So
yeah. That's cool, dude. I love seeing that. And you talked about some other things too. Like, I appreciate you talking about the show and saying, like, hey, this is full circle now. I was interviewed, now I'm interviewing people. How does that feel? We haven't fully kind of covered that yet. Like, after a couple interviews now, like,
man, it still feels a little weird. I still feel a little anxiety, you know, like, I don't know, like, kind of guiding the ship a little bit. But it's easy to work with you, man. You keep us on track and everything, so
I appreciate that. I don't know about that. Like, I think it's a good team effort that we have going on. So I appreciate you being part of the crew now, and I'm enjoying it with you. So,
and what I like about it too is like, there's some forethought. Like, if I, like when I was just doing the guest circuit forever, it's just kind of like, what time and what day, and I'll just show up, you know? And then now, you know, like, we have, you know, team meetings and like, all right, who are we going to bring on? And, you know, la, la, la. There's some thought process going on. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. Right. Like, you can't just show up and kind of do it. There is some back room kind of like, all right, hey, we're going to do this. We review with each other. I've appreciated that. And through those types of things, it's fun getting to learn who each one of us is, like, through this process, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because there's the outward perception when you're watching the show, and then there's the before the show, while the show's happening, and all of that. Like, I know last week we had some, it was kind of funny because we both had big plans. We're like, all right, we're gonna nail the intro, right? Like, all right, we're gonna say who we are, like, we're gonna do this. And then, like, I whiffed mine hard. like hard, like, yeah, I'm out of Beach Bum Exotics. And then like, you did yours pretty good.
Then, like, but then I forgot to shout out Jay last week because I was going to shout him out last week. I'm like, oh, man. So,
anyhow, I appreciate everybody joining and watching us kind of get better with each other. And that is something that I have appreciated with you, man, is it is a commitment to be like, all right, we're going to every week we're going to get better. We're going to think of something else that we're going to do that's fun or whatever. So appreciate that.
Yeah, and I like how we do a little review and stuff after just amongst ourselves and stuff too. And like, all right, what did we like? What did we, you know, where can we get better? All those, where's the opportunities lie? You know, all that. So,
yeah. So if everybody's willing, we'll keep getting better, you know. And, Catalina Morphs had a good comment. And I wanted to bring these up too. The shrapnel stuff that you've been producing, man.
Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your plan with the shrapnel gene? How do you see it fitting in? I know you've mixed in it into clown. Like, what's your, if you don't mind sharing, maybe a little industry secret, where are you taking it?
I mean, G-stripe clown, baby. I mean, all that's right, where I'm going with it.
Okay.
So when I initially bought my male, he was a het clown. So I was like, my first step, I kind of wanted to just like work it in clown slow. So, you know, like just make the shrapnel clown. So I want to see it step by step so then I could start IDing it better later on. But yeah, that was my first goal. Get it in clown and then I can run it
to parlay.
Yeah. G stripes that I have that are het clown that I've made and all that. And then, you know,
okay,
hopefully hit a male in that. And then there's a breeder for the G stripe clowns the next year, you know, just hopscotching through the years. But yeah, G stripe clown is my thing. Cause I want to like, You said it earlier, when you put genetic stripe in clown, man, it really disrupts that clown pattern. What's another thing like shrapnel with the granite and the pattern disruption going on? Like, what's that going to do? So I'm just curious to see, you know?
Yeah. All right. So more pattern disruption. That's the hope, bringing it into that project. Do you plan? So I know a little about shrapnel, right? Like it's kind of a granite-y gene. I see it manipulating some pattern here and there. If somebody like me wanted to know more about it, how would you explain shrapnel kind of?
I would say, man, basically you already did it. So it's going to mess up the alien heads in its single form. It's going to mess up the alien heads, give them some curly cues. It does some graniting. There's also a proven super. So there's that. I mean, this one does have a super. I know there's questions about other things that are out there, but this one does have a super.
It's going good. So that's a huge benefit in that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The super shrapnel clown produced by CD Constrictors is amazing. And like he produced that like the year I started breeding my male I got from him. And I was like, yes, man, that looks amazing. And I'm breeding mine now. So hell yeah. But yeah, man. So I'm doing the clown route right now, but that's parlaying over into G stripe clown. I know there are people doing VPI Xanthic, and there is someone in the world, I can't say who, that has already made the DG clown, DG shrapnel clown, however you want to say it. Shrapnel DG clown. So that's out there too.
Okay. Just not been put out on social media kind of thing.
No.
Yeah.
You know, we always say like, you never know what somebody has in their basement. I mean, that's true, man. That stuff is true.
Yeah. So, have you seen a picture of it? Is it cool looking?
Yeah. I mean, it looks identical to my shrapnel clown, but the DG version, and it's not, you know how DG can reduce pattern sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
It's not having that effect in there.
Okay. So it gave more of the color enhancement without changing pattern too much. So you still got kind of the pixelation and the broken up little alien head thing going down. Okay.
Right
on, man. That sounds cool.
Something I want to say about shrapnel is I don't post them enough, but I made a leopard shrapnel clown and it bossed Leopard around in Clown, which I was really impressed with. Cause I was actually trying Leopard. hoping I didn't hit that combo because I figured Leopard would overpower it, but that wasn't the case.
Because Leopard's strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Leopard and Clown together is like super strong, you know?
So, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Ah, that's cool. Right on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a gene. I don't have any shrapnel. Looked at it here and there, but just, yeah, it's one of those genes. Don't have it. What's up, Sugar Skull?
I think it would make a great addition to Puzzle, Adam. I'm just putting that out there.
All right. Well, Jay had an interesting comment earlier. Where was it? If I could find it, allelic combos. What did he say? What do you think the best allelic combos in Puzzle will be? Where did that go?
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, here's his other comments. When do you plan on bringing back RCR to talk some chaos? Kind of leads us into some stuff. So Shrapnel Puzzle, I was looking definitely at that. Sapphire was something else that I was kind of like looking at as well. I was talking to Trig Reptiles about that recently. Yeah, dude, I think Puzzle's got some exploring to do with some of the Granity type genes, right? Like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head if we've seen a bunch of examples in that arena, and not so much, I don't think.
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
Not with the Granity type stuff.
So yeah, not the
Granity. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, and then bringing Will on, possibly, I don't know. You know, we'll see. Will's kind of, who knows? I'm joking.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right. I don't know. Ever since that tariff deal, like, he doesn't want to talk to us Americans anymore. So I don't know.
But yeah, we love Will, just joking. And I'm sure he'll be on the show pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ah, well, thanks, Joshua, or Josh. Appreciate it. My brother, his name's Joshua, but he goes by Joshua, really. Not Josh. It's kind of funny. You never know with Josh's. So.
Yeah. No, he's a cool guy, Josh.
Yeah.
So do we want to do some debating with ourselves that involves the audience a little bit?
Yeah, something that I had hinted to earlier, right? And self-improvement of the show. And we thought we would bring you guys into this conversation here. So I'm down, man. Let's bring it up.
All right. We got two that we're going to address, right?
Yep. Yep, yep.
All right.
You open it up. Which one do you want to talk about first?
All right. Let's talk about time. So...
Okay.
Originally, we kind of advertised, or we did advertise, that we were going to keep it to an hour. We've been going over when we have guests, and we've been staying under or at an hour on the non-guest weeks. I was kind of leaning towards, man, we do a hard hour, even with guests. Like, I don't care who's on here. We just cut them off. Okay, see ya, bye, you know, kind of our shtick. But, you know, Adam, the wiser of us, he's saying, like, let's do 90 minutes on a guest if the conversation's engaging. So we kind of wanted to ask the crowd and see what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, because we know there's a lot of kind of long form podcasts out there that go well over an hour. And, you know, totally cool, right? It's not like we're trying to say, oh, you got to keep it at an hour, because that's the only thing that makes sense. It was just for us, that was something that we were trying to do. Life balances, you guys as viewers, time. So we were trying to fit most of the show into an hour, but we've been seeing with guests that doesn't quite work out. So if we were to go, you know, that 90 minutes, I don't know, what do you guys think? Well, yeah, that's kind of... Oh, Jay up there first. If the guest conversation is cooking, let it cook.
Yeah, and Josh is saying the same thing. Shane's getting outvoted again. I really just wanted to have like on like one of the big wigs and just like right when he's in the middle of telling his life story, just be like, sorry, time's up. Blah.
Yeah. Horn him.
Sorry, man. Yeah, you went over time. Bye.
Yeah, graceful, popping in, let it cook. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, right? And to, you know, putting some focus into the conversation, bringing it all into it. I think 90 minutes gives us that time. It gives us some intro time, some outro time, a little bit of like warm up for the guest. We have to also remember, like, not everybody's a pro like the Harbins, and they're ready to rock right away. Some guests may need some time to warm up. So,
right. Yeah. I'll you know, acquiesce.
Oh, there we go. Look at that. See, this is a great comment right there.
Yep. Like a nice tri-tip, buddy.
Yeah.
quick one on that. Like, yeah, they have tri-tips out here.
Yeah. And, how was your tri-tip? How did you get that cut?
So I went to get my oil changed, and the guy got my phone number. And he's like, Central Coast. I'm like, yeah, man, Ventura. And he's like, oh, I'm from Bakersfield. I was like, dude, I just lived there for 10 years before I moved here. And then he's like, have you found a tri-tip out here? And I'm like, no, they don't sell them. He's like, he told me the name of the butcher, Simpson's Meats. And I was like, as soon as the oil was changed, I was there, bought it, brought it home.
Nice. So you didn't have to explain it. I tried explaining it to a butcher out in Texas, and I got some cross-eyed looks and walked out pretty quickly. So, oh man, but great comment, Josh. Holy crap, dude, for sure. Yeah, peer pressure wins again. So I do agree, man. I think we kind of go to, again, not like a hard line, right? Not saying even 90 minutes has to be the cutoff, but if we focus the conversation, I think most things can be said in 90 minutes. And if it's going to go over 90, maybe, like you brought up earlier offline when we were talking, maybe it's something like we divide it into conversations, right? Where instead of you're nailing it all at once, we break it up and have the guest back and we cover that topic next.
Right. Some guests like the Harbins, we'll bring them up because we had them on. Like, you could focus on one subject with them and there's a whole episode. You can't do four or five of them with them because we'd be here 4 or 5 hours.
Exactly. Right. 100%. So, okay. I think we try that method. All right. So thanks, chat. Appreciate you guys out there.
All right. That's one for Team Adam.
Yeah. all right. Well, the second point that we wanted to kind of discuss with you guys, that something we were discussing, was shifting nights back to when it goes past me. It that is true. That was a concern and point that we had talked about. True is East Coast, when we go over, it is getting pretty late for people. But Shane said he would just do a lot of drugs in the morning, be completely fine.
I'm still drinking the Tim Hortons coffee. I special order it, man. That's the best, dude.
Nice. That's what you're saying. In your Reptiles Unplugged cup. By the way,
yes, it's a big one, and I have a big cup before I leave.
Oh man, yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Shane, yeah, yeah, but you get up at like 4 a.m., don't you, man?
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, so that's understandable. That was a legit kind of concern, but.
No, but you know, I like with the Harbins, I made an adjustment. I usually do the audio stuff right after we're done. I just put it off for the next night, you know, just, you know, a little bit of give and take there and whatever. We adjust.
Dude. Yeah. We're adults, right? We can adjust. But all right. So that goes back to, you know, the next topic is we started doing this Thursday. Cause initially when we were trying to plan it all out, life worked out well for each one of us Thursday. Now that we've been doing it a little bit more, we're thinking maybe Wednesday night, which is the OG time of Reptiles Unplugged. Right.
Right. Let me throw some in there. Yeah. Adapt and overcome. Champions make adjustments, not excuses. All right. So here's not an excuse. Here's a reason, though. We're making some adjustments. want to see what you guys think. So Wednesdays, there's already like 2 weeks coming up. One where Adam will be out, one where I'll be out because there's like extra long time needed off for personal reasons. So we're already getting fill-ins and stuff, and we would need less fill-ins if we were on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So.
That is true, right? Like, yep. You've got a vacation. Once the dog showing scene picks up again, it's going to, you know, it's going to hit for Thursdays, Fridays a lot more frequently for myself. Okay. We do have one vote, Graceful Pythons, I think Thursdays. Jay Hendo OG times. All right. So we're a little split. I know for you, right, Trin, you were saying Wednesday does work a little easier for you now. Yeah.
I mean, I could do either one. I'm just thinking, you know, Thursdays we've already had, you know, conflicting schedules.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Harbin's, I'm still a Thursday fan. All right. If you build it. Yeah. If you build it, we will come. All right. Well, you know, man, I don't know. I think we've maybe think about this one a little bit more. It's one of those tough ones, right? Because we have established ourselves. Mrs. Beachbum, when she gets like 10 votes, is
I was gonna say she gets extra votes. So, well, but you know, I'll plaster it out there if we do change the day. It's just something that we're throwing up in the air. I mean, either one kind of works, but Wednesday is a little better.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the honesty on this one.
Hey, man, it's the brutal truth.
Hey, this is, being straightforward has its value. I do appreciate that very much so. I don't know. It's one of those things, right, where we definitely don't, we're not picking our time to like compete or the step on anybody's toes. It's truthfully just kind of what's going to work best personally for us. And then also like viewers, right? Like, do you guys have other shows that you guys watch on Wednesday night that maybe Shane and I aren't familiar with, which, you know, we wouldn't want to necessarily like tread on people if you guys have a big following over at another place. So,
I mean, we tried not to step on toes, but if you see the TV guide out there, man, the week is stacked. There's multiple shows, multiple times on every day.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to, but yeah. Jerome.
Yep. Oh yeah. What's up, Jerome?
There's another California exile out there, man.
Oh, where's Jerome at these days?
He's in Iowa.
Oh, okay. Iowa. Nice.
He was in Memphis for a while.
I got good barbecue in Memphis. Well, congrats on the first eggs of the season just dropped. I'm jealous.
Yeah, congrats, brother.
I did get some ultrasounding in. Got a few. There you go. Got a few girls hanging around like the 22 mark, you know, 2.2. So they're building.
Have you had any clutches yet though since your return?
I have not. Nope. All right. Nope. All right. Yeah. Started breeding like pairing. December. Yeah, it was December. Started pairing.
All right. Yeah.
Tune in live most weeks. All right, Jay. Yeah, and that is another thing we were kind of talking about. Time. Do we keep it at the 6 p.m.? Which is 8 p.m. Central, so 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, or do we slide it to like 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m., things like that. Just trying to, you know, figure out, I don't know, where we kind of fit. So Thursday has been working. Not saying we're immediately going to abandon ship on Thursday, but we have been discussing maybe going back to the OG time, so.
And there's just so many choices, man. Like, where do you even begin? You know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right.
So I'm kind of like the crowd. I could do either one. I just know Thursdays we will run into more fill-in days, but I don't know if that's necessarily a problem either.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What did you, and that's something else. I mean, I know Adam did an excellent job, but what do you guys think about that? I don't, you know, I know some other shows like kind of the networks have their people and they all, they rotate and they do stuff together. We're not in a network, but we do have friends, believe it or not. We do have friends and right. Some of them have podcasts and can fill in and do some stuff. So, you know, we're just leveraging that. And I don't know. What'd you guys think? I thought Adam did an excellent job. I was actually more entertained watching him do it than me trying to watch my own replay. Sometimes I can't do that, bro. It's too weird. I just did.
I could do like 10 or 15 minutes and then I'm like, I don't want to hear my own voice anymore.
Oh, thanks, Josh. Hugs, buddy. Hugs. We'll be friends.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll circle back to that one
I think we'll circle back. I think decision on the second topic. Okay.
I don't even know which team I was supposed to be on for that one. I was trying to build a whole like Adam versus Shane, like the werewolves versus the vampires or whatever those guys' names were in Twilight. We could do like our own shirts. Before you know it, we'd be at Burger King, like Team Jacob.
Yeah, I forget what their names were.
Team Edward, Team Jacob, that's what it was.
I forget that you have kids, because in my head I'm like, why does he know this right now? Did we just uncover Shane's favorite movie? Twilight.
Man, I read the first book, like my daughter was reading it too.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, dude, I can't read the rest of these. Like, I'll watch the movies, but I can't. Like, oh my God. It was just so teenage. Yeah. It sucked. Sorry, yeah. Twilight fans.
Yeah. So Jay had an interesting comment here. If scheduling conflicts happen, you could just release 10 to 15 minute B-roll video of private collection tours. Could be cool. Yeah. Possibly viewer engagement kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. Something like that. Yeah. I mean, lots of different ideas, right? And I think that's going to be the kind of mantra of the show, right? Is just we're rolling with the punches, man. We're just going to do our own deal. What works for us, what doesn't, we'll try different things. I mean, yeah, we've got an awesome technical producer that can produce shout out clips like the one you guys saw earlier. So the idea is we'll keep flowing. So,
hey, back to the theme, like champions make adjustments, not excuses. So we'll keep adjusting, adapting, overcoming, and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, dude, I want to say something about my own personal life. Let's go back to Shane for a second.
Yeah.
So the video you referenced where I did the genetic stripe clown.
Yes, sir.
Like that was so liberating for me because I've been in the YouTube frame of mind because my channel is like those 10 minute or less type edited videos. And once you get rolling, it's like, you got to release on a schedule, stay in the algorithm, all this stuff that's pounded in your head when you're in that segment. And I was like, dude, I'm just going to edit this video and hit publish. Because I'm on Reptiles Unplugged every week. I don't care about the algorithm over here on my channel anymore. Boo. And dude, I was like, liberated. Freedom. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to make more videos because of that. Because I'll just be like, I feel like making a video. Publish. Boom. You know? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You weren't a slave to the algorithm, right? Kind of feels good.
Dude, that's how I felt all these years, though. It's like, okay, I'm going to go on hiatus for 1 month, and then I got to get back in the routine, and it's like you're just slaved and like, just wait till you have like the inspiration to make a video, and then just click publish when you're done. That's it.
Bam. And there it is, right? Because you're just putting out good info, right? And I got that feeling from your last video, bro, that you were so like, you were just incredibly stoked to share what was going on with everybody. And it came through, you know? Thank you. Yeah. So, dude, hats off to you for that. And I agree. Don't be a slave to the algorithm, people.
Yeah. Be a rebel. Publish it at midnight. Who cares?
Probably the worst marketing advice you could get right now. But
Yeah. Don't listen to me. Don't follow what I'm saying right now.
Either
if you're already in a rhythm though, and you want to break, just do it to be rebellious.
Yes. If mental health is at the, you know, go for it. If it feels good to be a rebel, just do it.
Yeah. It always feels good to be a rebel.
Best way.
That's right.
Oh man, that's too funny. Well, I don't think we've announced the next guest, have we?
No, we have not.
Yes. You want to do the honors, sir?
Well, I usually try to do an Easter egg. So we're having one of the All-American Reptile and Plant Expo crew. Oh,
I was trying to get you big.
We're going to have one of the All-American crew. That being Troy Schroeder. So Troy from Best Dressed Balls is going to come on representing All-American. And we're going to talk about all things to do with shows and how the startup, how do you choose locations, you know, the demographics, all that stuff that we as vendors wonder, like, why did they pick that location and that facility and, you know, why, you know, all the whys.
Yeah, exactly. The whys and just, yeah. So anyhow, so you guys get your questions ready. If you have any for the, you know, a vendor, right? Like, could be simple, like, hey, what's when I want to vend, what type of person are you looking to vend your show, right? Or let's, yeah, what type of venue are you guys looking for? Demographics, like Shane was saying, are there tools to leverage to figure that type of stuff out? Lots of cool stuff. And Troy is awesome. He's been in the industry forever, so he'll have a lot of cool insights, man. I'm looking forward to this one. He's a good one.
Yeah, for sure, man. Fun fact, when I was brand new, Troy was one of the guys with a lot more experience that was always like message you back and help you out. And like, he's just one of those good guys, you know, like, hey man, I think I messed something up. And he'll be like, what'd you do? You know, he's just one of those kind of guys that'll walk you through it. So shout out to Troy.
Yeah, definitely. And he's one of those guys too, no matter how busy he is, you could tell he'll take that time out real quick for you. You know what I mean? Like if you reach out to him or you talk to him, I know he's an extremely busy guy. He takes the time out. He helps people. I can only imagine the show that he promotes has as much care and attention that he puts to the people around him. So,
yeah. So I've vended two different locations with that circuit so far. And both times or multiple times, but both places, the same thing, man. Like they're doing pizza for the vendors and vendor meetups after the show. And like, it's very engaging. And you could tell like that they used to vend. Like you could tell like they care about the vendors because they were just vendors, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Let's get some awkward ones for them too.
I like Jerome's sense of humor here. Good one. But yeah, dude, I think it's going to be a good conversation. Troy's going to be one of those guests like the Harbins where I think we're going to have him on, you know, throughout the year, because he's got a lot to share. Not only is he breeding animals himself, working on projects, he's putting on an awesome show. So he's going to be one of those dudes. What was that?
Troy was the first big breeder to look at me like I was crazy when I told him about the combos I was shooting for long term. It was kind of hilarious in the moment.
Yeah, well, so which one of those combos, Jay? What did he look cross-eyed at you at?
Yeah.
Definitely.
But Troy, I think he's more focused on his show circuit right now, maybe. I don't know. These are questions we need to ask him, but he's a well-accomplished breeder in his own right.
Exactly.
I love it. I love his whole branding model and stuff. Like he's in the suit and you know, best dressed balls. Like he's got a whole theme to his whole setup.
He lives up to it. Yeah.
the bow tie stickers and stuff that matches, you know, outfit and, you know, all that stuff. He's good.
Someone who's just learning the ins and outs when I want to.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tana. Yeah. The expos, great way to meet people. And Troy's definitely one of those faces too, that, like you said, he dresses to impress. He's playing the part. He's always had that approachable demeanor. And I've always appreciated that about him. So, yeah.
And Super Blackhead, Super Hurricane, Campfire, DG, Hypo Puzzle.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, yeah, not wrong. Amazing, probably looking animal, but holy crap. Like,
yeah, you got some work ahead.
Exactly. How close are you, Jay, to that Super Blackhead? Yeah, that would be wicked. 20-year goals. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a little up there in age, man. I don't know if I would set a goal that lofty at my age. You know?
Okay. All right. I thought I was I was thinking about that the other day. Like, all right, I want to do this project. Well, wait a second. That puts me calculating like 65. Oh no. I don't know if I should set out on something like that.
Yeah, man. mean, you know, that is stuff you got to think about, you know?
It is. Yeah. I mean, that'll be something for another conversation. Maybe planning as you get older. What do you do with your animals and stuff like that? But it is a concern. It's something that I've thought about. So
yeah,
because you can't forget. I mean, our ball pythons have pretty long life expectancies. So it is a reality. You know.
Yeah,
it is definitely. Well, cool. We still. I know we've had talks about shifting the show, but nope. Troy is going to be on at the regular time Thursday next week, 9 p.m. Eastern. So bring them questions. It's going to be a good one.
And if you have like specific questions, you could DM Adam or myself, and we'll put it in the mix and give you a shout out, of course, if we use your question and all that too. So shoot them on over.
Yeah. Shoot them over either directly to us. I try and monitor the Instagram page for Reptiles Unplugged as well. So if you're not getting a, hey, cool. Okay. We'll add that over there. Definitely hit me up on my Beach Bum Exotics or hit Shane up over at Small Town.
And the Harbins say, what else are you going to do until you die? That is very true as well. I pictured myself in my senior years just like playing with hognose all the way till the end and a few boas and just calling it a day, you know?
Nice. Heck yeah, dude. I know. It's one of those. I think I'd like to be eaten by like a 20-foot retic maybe when it gets to that time.
Yeah, but so here's my thinking on that.
Yeah,
hognose and like the northern boas, like the Mexican boas and stuff, you cool them down and they're not eating through the winter, so you're basically on vacation. So I'm thinking those are like good retirement animals, you know. Just okay. My thought.
That's a fair point. I haven't really kept the colubrid, so I haven't enjoyed that aspect of an. Like, yeah, okay, so that's interesting. So you get like 2 to 3 months off, I guess, while you're cooling them. And
I do two right now, but you like in the, they say nature's like 3. So, I mean, 3 is okay. Safe. Yeah.
Dude, that's a good vacation. That's a nice.
Yeah, like with the boa sigmas, you stop feeding them in November and then fire back up in like February too. So, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah, you're just kind of on vacation.
All right. I like it. I like the, planning ahead like that. It goes with the whole, like, making your keeping easy as you get older. So you learn things like that. Like, you know, hey, if I try and keep too many species in a space, heating and all of that gets weird. Okay, so I'm going to isolate to species that kind of keep around the same range. And now this is the next evolution. I need to keep species that allow me to take a couple months off.
See, look, the Harbin say put them up at Halloween and pull them at the end of January. See, that's a good long break right there.
Oh, dude. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. love learning about stuff like that.
Yeah. So
see, all things to start keeping track of, keep it in the memory bank.
So is this turning into a senior citizen reptile podcast?
Yeah. So we should, I know we are not a sponsored show, but since we are getting up in age, we've taken on our sponsor AARP. Play it, guys.
Free memberships for everyone.
Apparently we're in the wrong species, right?
Too funny. Oh, man. I pulled your covers now.
Well, we do have some questions firing in. Now, here's the whole thing, right? Let the conversation cook if it is cooked. We've got good participation from chat. So, you know, Jay just been throwing in some good comments here. What are the top three codoms you would use like a recessive? Working supers like recessive. Dude, that's a sweet I've been thinking a lot about that recently, is applying supers more like recessives, you know, and not only their value, but how I'm using where I want certain genes in males versus females and everything. So
I'll give some answers. So I would definitely work like gravel or asphalt like that. Lace, obviously, because white lace is phenomenal too. God, right offhand, I think that those are like my three right there, but I know asphalt and gravel kind of overlap, so I'm kind of cheating there. But
you, okay,
man, I like any like a soup. I'm stuck.
Okay, so phantom is one of those for me, mm-hmm. where it's in the bell complex, so you get some of the benefits of that, but it also offers pattern, right? So pretty much, and this is, I was hinting to it earlier, if the animal's super is an all white snake or an all black snake or a patternless snake, I'll try and keep that gene on the female side and not have it be on the male side. So that way I can run it to multiple animals without it creating white snakes, right? So, but genes like gravel, asphalt, the ones that are producing pattern in the super, blackhead, you know, all of these types of things, I'll keep more in a male, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I know you have to have it on both sides to produce a super, right? But that's where I, like on a female, I would want it stacked with, you know, more the bell complex stuff, right? And then my male, I would keep on stuff that's not going to be producing all white snakes, basically. I don't know if that makes sense. In my head, it sounded better earlier, but.
Yeah, and that's how I've kept spot nose in my collection too. I keep it in my females. And okay. I try to avoid males with spot nose because I don't want to hit those supers
for the power.
But in the comments, so we have some very good comments, but three in a row all voted to work super hurricane, which super I should have nailed that one because I'm working hurricane right now. So I don't know why I missed that.
Totally, man. The Harvards too. Yeah, I agree. Hurricane, that's been one of those genes that I've been, you know, looking at a lot to try and get in the puzzle myself. So a lot of what I do focuses around puzzle, how I think it's going to interact with puzzle. And hurricane's definitely been one of those genes. So the Hayabusa, I think a Hayabusa puzzle would be sick.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I like hurricane a lot. I just hatched my first hurricane clown. It has red stripe in it too, but like, dude, just seeing that in the egg and then watching it come out and shed, I was like, man, I've been like skipping hurricane this whole time. What was I doing? You know, but there's just so much out there to choose from, you know.
There is a lot. And I think for a little while, we were seeing some examples maybe that weren't extreme phenotypes of the gene. So it was hard to kind of see like, all right, is it worth to dedicate not only resources and money? But all right, good night, Shane. I know it's your your bedtime.
I had that preset because I expected to win the hour debate. 5 minute warning.
Good night, Shane. All right, everybody, we have 5 minutes before Shane passes out.
Oh, somebody, look, Orange Dream, that's another good one as a super.
Oh dude, super ODs, yes. So, right,
yeah, there's a lot of good supers out there. Yes thank you, Harvest, thank you. No, there's a lot of good supers out there though, and I think in general, I'm not speaking against anyone in particular, just overall, a majority of the hobby is all heading for multi-recessives and leaving supers on the table untapped, you know, when that could be one of the other options. So,
well, totally. And I'm trying to reframe it in the sense of like a super is the same as like a recessive, right?
Yeah.
Like a homozygous part of like, so... Right. Just because
it's because our hobby talk, like they are. Yeah. It's like, well, you said it, homozygous, heterozygous.
Yes.
It's the same. It's the same.
It is the same, right? And I mean, it even behaves
the same. I'm finishing his sentences now. He was going to talk about, like, you know, how the genetically it's the same. Heterozygous, homozygous. Oh, all right, he's back.
It's so odd because I'll know I'm tapped, like starting to blip out, because you'll just start talking over me and I'm like, oh no, I must be failing right now.
We're in a band, man, so I'm just like, I'm finishing the song, bro.
Hell yeah, dude. I appreciate you doing that. But anyhow, so I'm reframing it in my head to kind of treat them like the same in the sense of like how I'm planning to use them in my breeding projects, right? But I think where they win out over a recessive gene is we're actually getting to see the het version, right? You get to see it, right? It's not hidden.
You don't have to test for it. I mean, you might have to, but.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you got five of them stacked on each other, it gets a little wonky. But yeah, so I agree. I love the suggestions. Thank you, guys. I'm going to take a lot of these and go buy some animals now. No, I'm joking. But some good ones. Grim. Yeah, so what's up with Grim, right? Me being away for a couple of years. I know Grim was starting to surface while I was still kind of messing around, but has there been any movement on Grim? I don't know.
I've seen the Grim Reapers and stuff. I love the name, the whole name thing for the single and the super. Man, I'm on board with that. Like, that's heavy metal right there. But yeah. I haven't seen a lot of people working with it. I know Tana has it. Yeah, I think it's a really cool gene, though.
All right. So go check out Tana's page if you guys want to see some.
Oh, duh, shrapnel. Fuck. Shrapnel. See? Man.
So talking about the Grim, I feel like it's underplayed. I think there's a ton of potential. Yeah. Some cool genes out there that I think, well, thanks Jay for that question. Getting us, engaged using our brains here. That's what it's about. So, alrighty, Shane, I know we've only got maybe 90 seconds left before,
before I hit in broadcast. Now. Oh, that's it. Bye.
Jerome. Shane, go look at your tubs before you answer questions again.
Yeah, no doubt, man. You know, I'm just like, I'm out on a walk in the park in my head, you know, whatever.
I will say, being on this end with the mic and Freddie, it kind of, that it is funny how your brain does like just fart on itself hard sometimes.
Well, you know, my brain like starts going like outside of my collection, like what do I want to see in supers? Cause I'm not thinking about what I already have. I'm thinking about what I want was where my brain was going, you know, like, I want some super gravel asphalt type stuff going. That's what I want. And
yeah.
Who cares what's in my rack? I mean, I already got it, you know?
I feel you on that, dude, for sure. Oh man. Well, I have appreciated the conversation, but hey, yes, one of these nights where I think we try and keep it to the hour, y'all. I've had some other good comments come in. We're not ignoring those. We're just saving some of those questions. I think be some good questions for next time. So appreciate everybody commenting. And Shane, you got any words of wisdom or anything you want to wrap us up with, my friend?
I'm going to play on the, like, definitely pick the projects you love and persevere, because eventually you're going to hit what you want, man. That's like where I'm at in my head right now. That's all good. I got. Thanks for everyone to show that showed up too.
Ah, man. I love it. I love that you're leaving us on that, because that is true. Just stay the course, right? As they say.
Yeah.
I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Comments, love them. Replay gang, appreciate you guys too. Anybody catching us on the podcast afterwards, thank you guys for listening. Leave us a like, comment, or whatever the platform wants you to do to
if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, because that's how it boosts us in the algorithm over there. We're still a slave to algorithms, but whatever, just slave, leave us algorithm. A review over there. Yeah,
it could be anything. The algorithm doesn't even care. It could be like, these guys suck. Get them off Apple. And we appreciate it. So thank you all. All right. We'll see you guys next week with an awesome guest. Check us out 9 p.m. Eastern time next week, next Thursday, with Troy from Dress Best Balls. Later.
Later.